Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform, the Industrial Talk platform, celebrates the women, the men, the companies that get it done. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and you're not just changing the world, you're changing the lives all around the world. That's why this podcast is here to celebrate you, and we celebrate you and thank you each and every day. All right, you know I'm a big fan of sales, marketing, branding, all of this stuff that's real important. Bip, 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 bip. And we have a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Todd Palmer. And I'm telling you, he starts dropping these doggone truth bombs. And one of the things that I just really, really like and that he's a big advocate on is being able to have that authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability when you're trying to just survive, rebuild, and prosper in this particular next normal. Let's get a rockin'. Yeah, you know, I'm all about that. I mean, especially when we're in a point where I think people, you know, companies in general have already retained the resources that are necessary to help them be successful in the future. One, have managed the risk in a way that it's either eliminated or have they built a fence, some sort of protection around it for their business, for their, you know, for careers. They've already sort of adjusted from an optimization point of view, making sure that they're saving money, right? And I think we're in a phase right now for this next normal, and we've always been in it, but I think right now is how does one make money in this particular environment? Because the strategies you deploy today will help build that business, that resiliency in the future. It makes sense, right? It makes complete sense. And because we really don't know. We don't know if this is going to happen again, or is this really the next normal? And I don't have an answer because we need to have a business that can survive in this particular market today. And that's why, you know, making money and figuring out how to really penetrate that market is so important. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And that's why I like working with companies that are doing the same thing, being real innovative, because they're already collaborating. You know, we're not collaborating just internally, but externally. And even in some cases, with their competition to try to figure out how to survive, rebuild, and prosper in this particular, you know, next normal. So anyway, Todd Palmer, he's got Mad Stat Card out there. Of course he does. And what we're going to be talking a lot about is, of course, that authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability. But how do you apply those qualities and those the values in this next normal? And it's just... He brings up a really interesting quote, and it's right here on a piece of paper here. Opportunity in tragedy. So we're still sort of coming out of it. We don't know what the future holds, but there are opportunities. And there's opportunities for you as a business. There's opportunities for you in your career to really change the trajectory of where you were prior to the podcast or prior to the pandemic to where you are today. So those are some of the cool things that we're going to be talking about on this particular podcast. Once again, he is Todd Palmer. His company is named, get this, Extraordinary Advisors. I always look at that Extraordinary Gentleman, whatever that show. Anyway, right there, Extraordinary Advisors. He is the CEO. So his website, of course, is extraordinaryadvisors.com. Go out there, find out more. And, of course, Todd Palmer. So if you go out to his LinkedIn stat card, simple. There's a lot of Todd Palmers out there. But if you put a little comma in there and then you put extraordinary advisors in there, boom, you're going to be able to find them. So anyway, enjoy this conversation because I did. Todd, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined the number one Reuter. The number one related industrial and manufacturing podcast in the universe. I don't think I'm overselling that. Do you think I am?
You know what? I'm glad someone's taking care of the industrial people, because they are the backbone of America, and they typically have been ignored or put in secondary position for many years. So it's good that they have a champion like you.
You know, this is what's been the best part about this whole, when I went down this podcast journey, is the ability to be able to interview people like you and others and see and experience the passion in their eyes, their thought process. And it's always been just an absolute honor to have any manufacturer on this particular podcast. It's been great. For the listeners, you, Todd, give us a little 411 on why you're such an incredible professional. Okay.
Fair enough. With that kind of intro, how can I say no?
It's a podcast. You can't say no.
There you go.
Dialogue.
There you go. So my background, I was the CEO for 23 years of Diversified Industrial Staffing, the nation's largest provider of skilled trades talent. We specifically specialized in CNC machinists, welders, plant managers, and anybody who would have been a direct hire position. And the reason we really got into that category to go back then to go forward is 10 years into the business, I was $600,000 into debt. I was 2 months away from running out of all of my money due to my imposter syndrome. My son and I were living in our house. My house was pledged to the bank. My son was 11 at the time, and he's freaking out, wondering, we're going to be homeless. You're going to be jobless. What am I going to do? And I finally, about 60 days away from running out of all of my money, I hired a coach. And that relationship changed that business. That relationship changed my mindset and ultimately ended up changing my life from the perspective of, I would not deal with uncomfortable conversations. I would avoid them, and I would pivot away, and I would let toxicity permeate through my organization. I wouldn't address underperforming employees or non-performing employees, because in my head, my imposter syndrome was so focused on nice people don't talk that way. Nice people don't do this. Yeah. I saw myself as a nice person. I applied the law of avoidance. I wouldn't go out and do the right things because I didn't want to change my sense of self. Well, that quickly changed when I hired this coach. He taught me financial literacy. He pointed out the holes in my ship as was causing me to sink. And in September of 2006, I walked in and fired my entire company in one day, and I started over. Within 10 years, we figured out the inflection point, the skilled trade sector specifically, and we paid off all that debt. We reduced our payment terms from 120 days to 12. We increased our margin by over 10%. And we made the Inc. 5000 as one of the fastest growing companies in America, not one time, not two times, but six times. From then, I retired from that business a few years ago. Now I coach and speak on entrepreneurship around the itty-bitty negative committee in our head, around imposter syndrome, around leaning into the uncomfortable and failing forward. Because a lot of entrepreneurs get into business often just to create a job. Then they end up creating a company. And that's kind of where it all falls apart.
All right, listeners, you hear it. He's got some mad street cred out there. I've also looked. Are we on LinkedIn together? I think I did, but if not, I'm going to be sending you an invite. But he's got a mad stat card out there. And of course, he's big into baseball, so he knows that I'm into the baseball and stats and everything. Yeah. So
the back of the baseball card is what other nice things other people say about you.
Yeah, I got it, man. All right, let's talk a little bit about it. We're living through this whole COVID world. It's challenging. Not just for individuals, but for companies. And it's you know, top to bottom, it's impacted businesses in a dramatic way. What type of advice do you think you can provide these manufacturers and industrial professionals right now to sort of calm down?
Well, look, this is like, it's kind of a de-escalation, the way you calm down. And it's so much helping them understand that this is their Stockdale paradox. This is their brutal reality. And within that brutal reality, there's still that opportunity to get out of it, the opportunity to pivot, and the ability to figure out how to get unstuck. First thing I'm telling my clients right now is make sure you have a great cash reserve. That doesn't mean you don't spend, but make sure you have plenty of money set aside. I had a client who recently got PPP money and he felt guilty because he didn't need it. And this may rankle some feathers on the show today, but I said, hang on to that money until you have to pay it back. Because once you pay it back, you don't get a second chance to go make another withdrawal from the government ATM. You have to focus on taking care of your internal employees, taking care of yourself, taking care of your vendors who take care of you. The second thing I'm telling them is to look for the opportunity within the tragedy. I do a lot of work with the American Gear Manufacturers Association. And I actually just worked with a woman, wrote an article about her for my platform, Ruthie Johnston. And she talked about how she was able to actually grow her manufacturing company in these pandemic times by doing some non-traditional things in 2020. She had her people use these things called telephones. And they had this other thing called a conversation. Wow. And in that conversation, they didn't say, I don't want to sell you anything. I understand your business is struggling. Who can I connect you with? Who can I introduce you to? Wow. How can I help you expand your network? And her business is on fire. Yeah. So there's opportunity within the tragedy. If you get unstuck, if you take a look at what you can do and how you can make an impact.
It's interesting. I just did a video on who do I know that you need to know?
There you go.
It's just like a 2-minute video. It's like, hey, you better start expanding that doggone network right now. Now, don't lollygag. Don't be crippled. And I'm looking at your form. Get out there and be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
See, this is what's interesting here is that, yes, you're uncomfortable, but you know that person right next to you, they're uncomfortable, and that person's uncomfortable, and that everybody's uncomfortable. Just embrace it and feel uncomfortable and keep moving forward.
Well, we'll call it the pink elephant in the room. If we're four of us are at having lunch, you know, first thing you want to lead with is authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability. Hey, we used to say this at lunch all the time. How's your business? Oh, it's great. We're awesome. We're growing. Hey, my business is struggling, and I could really use another set of eyes to look at my business. And maybe I'll hire a coach. Maybe I'll bring in a consultant. But, you know, we're sitting here at lunch right now. Here's what I think I'm going through. Where do you see opportunity? Can you give me some, you know, 30,000-foot view on my hero's journey? How can you help me? And just stand up and say that. And, you know, like every time I speak, I always start with the $600,000 in debt to the Inc. 5,000. That's always my intro because I ask my audience to always practice ATV, authenticity, transparency, and vulnerability. I have to model that for them. I have to show them what it looks like.
Yeah. So
the worst day of my life, September 9th, 2006, has become my message. You know, the mess becomes your message as you help others. But if I want, you know, if I want Scott to be authentic, the last thing I want to walk into the room is telling everybody how great I think I am.
Yeah.
You're going to find 5 holes in that story pretty quick.
Nah, that's beautiful. And it is so, I don't know, I get a sense of peace from it. You know, it'd be this whole pre-pandemic, pre-virus, everybody's business, and they'll tell you, everybody's business was just on fire and we're doing the best thing and we're making just that. Now, this next normal, it's completely different. And I always talk about collaboration. I don't have the I don't have the answers. Todd has some of the answers. You know, Susie Q might have, but together we can come up. But that vulnerability, that's where it needs to reside in the collaboration. I love it. I'm all into it.
It was part of my struggle. I was so much thinking I had to be the oracle. I had to be all things to all people all the time on all topics. And I wouldn't raise my hand and ask for help. And it got me into a really bad spot. And one of the first things my coach told me when I hired him was, because you know, I'm available to you, text or call me, run things past me. I am here to be of service to you. It's a very much servant leadership model. And you know, that's what I apply now. And the crazy thing is I still use a coach. I used my business coach for 6 years. And for the last 7 years, I've used a neurosurgeon as my coach. And he teaches me how my brain works and how the brains of others work so that when they get stuck and they won't ask for help, what curiosity-based questions can thought leaders like you and I ask them to get them to free up, to get them to create some self-awareness so that they can pivot their business in a better direction than where it may be going in 2020.
But Todd, I mean, pre-virus, failure was just a bad thing. We defined failure as anything that didn't succeed. I don't know what it was. I failed at cooking a hot dog. You failure, you know, and now it's how do we overcome that? How do we just get past that self-awareness of like, oh, I feel like I failed. How do we get past that?
Well, first it's to recognize that the itty bitty negative committee in your head is meeting and it's giving you that feedback. So that's why I go to people smarter than me. My coach, Dr. Daniel Friedland, world-renowned.
Whoa. You just dropped a name. Give me a break. You know him?
Danny's awesome. He's my coach. And he's for 7 years, he's helped me get unstuck. And he's helped me get to a point where now failure is just a word in Webster's dictionary in my household, with my clients. Because if you're not failing, you're not learning. And he can show in a scientific methodology under an MRI machine and over the course of 6 to 12 months, how you can repair relationships, how you can fix your business, how you can fix, you know, yourself lose weight, whatever you want to do. If you remember that every time you try something and it doesn't work, it's not a failure. It's just another way that it doesn't work. And that opportunity is another path, another step on your path to being successful. And so, you know, if I don't have the answer, I got to go to him to get the answer. So if my client Scott calls me up, I can say, you know what, let me figure that out. We'll get back to you. We'll reconvene on it. It's not a matter of not are you going to have a mistake, not are you going to fail, quote unquote, but when you do, how are you going to handle it? And that's what I've learned from Danny, how to handle
it. But it's interesting in industry, and you've been in industry, you know exactly that there's no room for failure, and to have failure can be defined as anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. I think the, in a weird sense, the whole COVID pandemic has sort of freed that up. If you right now, if you can embrace the fact that I'm going to have to do everything I possibly can to survive and rebuild and prosper, whatever that looks like, in that whole journey, you're failing.
You know,
but you're learning.
You are learning. And here's the crazy thing is the CEOs that I work with, they're not just learning about their businesses, they're learning about themselves. And sometimes they learn things that they don't necessarily like. And sometimes we can get them pivoted into, I'll drop another name for you because you seem to enjoy that part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I worked with Simon Sinek 12 years ago.
See?
And he helped me get unstuck around why the hell am I doing this job? Why am I working in a space where I've got candidates that don't appreciate the work that I do and customers that think I charge them too much? And I'm making these matches to help these companies become profitable and these families get 20 to 30% more income. And he does 2 years to find two words, improve lives. That's my why. So every decision I make, I improve lives. That's what I want. I showed up on your show today because hopefully you get value out of the conversation. Maybe one listener gets one light bulb moment or one aha moment. That's great. If even manufacturers, why are you doing it? I do this thing where I take, you know, kind of walk them down the ladder through a series of questions to get them to identify and anchor in why they do what they do. And typically, it's not to make money. Typically, the money is nothing more than a vehicle to freedom and flexibility, for example, or because they grew up poor and the pain and the shame and the guilt they had of having to wear pants that are three sizes too small to school has landed and resonated with them. If we can anchor them in why they do what they do, then they can go out and do, they literally can reinvent their business in these times and still live to their purpose and their why, but their business may just look different, and that's okay.
Yeah, see, that's a beautiful thing. And I, once again, I'm not trying to sugarcoat what's happening out there, still rippling, still are the challenges. There's a lot of pain. But there's some dramatic stories that exist of victory and optimism, because it's amazing when you're forced to do something. Forced. This is a force. It's not, when you're forced to do something, you develop a sense of grit and do it, and you got to do it, and then look beyond the pain. You just got to do it. And that's been the message. It's got to happen. You got to do it.
You got to do it. So someone asked me recently, I was speaking live last week, believe it or not. And Someone asked me, when I told them the $600,000 debt story, why didn't I just file bankruptcy? And I said, well, the reality was I couldn't look my son in the face and tell him that I was filing for bankruptcy, even though it was completely a legal move. It's a business positioning move, because I always told him, whether it was sports, academics, or life, that he always had to give it his best. And he always had to do everything he possibly could to be successful in it. Even if the most successful he could do in English was to get a C, then get the best darn C you can possibly get. And I knew in the back of my head that I had not done everything for my business. I knew, because I deflected away from the uncomfortable, I lived in artificial harmony instead, that I hadn't done everything I could. So when you think about the tough decisions, the grit required, when I got to look my kid in the face and say, I'm going to stick this through, stick with me, believe in me, I will get us out of that. That's a pretty powerful motivator to get your butt out of bed every day.
And it is. And it's not comfortable, but you got to do it. It's like there's no other way of doing it. Now, what I've noticed is that you've got this four-step formula, right, of fail-forward leadership. You got to force. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And it's universal. It's so funny. I was actually using the four-step process with someone who's in conflict with their children. And so it applies universally in conflict resolution and getting unstuck around seeing opportunity. And first thing is to recognize, believe it or not, it sounds so simple. Hey, I'm stuck. I have my fixed mindset has locked me up. Okay, that doesn't work anymore. What can I do? I need to set, I'll use myself as the example rather than point the finger at someone else. I'm $600,000 in debt. How did I get there? Well, I only saw the world through one lens. Okay, well, that didn't work. Well, my intention is I need to get out of debt. Don't know when, and I don't know how, and that's okay. So make peace with that. But what I want to see happen is I want to see myself get out of debt. So I'm going to create a strategy around that intention. And we tried a bunch of different things. We tried temporary help. We tried, split desks. We tried a bunch of different recruiting methodologies at Diversified Industrial to get out of that debt. And then we eventually hit on the skilled trade sector by simply approaching it with massive curiosity and asking clients the question during the recession, believe it or not, is when you get out of the recession, you can only hire one person. Who's the one person you're going to hire? And we used to ask that over and over and over from Detroit through the Midwest, all the way down to Houston, from different sectors. And we exploded that. So going back, my mindset that wasn't working was temporary help. That's the only way I know how to make money, and it doesn't work. Doing it high volume, low margin doesn't work. My intention is I got to get out of debt. I'm going to create three or four strategies around it, and I'm going to try them all, and I'm going to recognize that some will work and some will not work. And I'm going to do it over and over and over again. And when I get stuck, I'm going to go back to the very beginning, recognize that I'm stuck, recognize that I'm doing my itty bitty negative committee in my head, and I'm going to get unstuck, and I'm going to keep doing it. More intentions, more intentions, more intentions, more intentions.
See, it's a lot of these individuals, a lot of these leaders, I find that they're categorized as leaders. This is where leadership really shines or doesn't. And it's in these times of crisis. And so it really sort of, it's again, trying to be the optimist. If you find yourself in the leadership that I don't know what to do, there are solutions, right?
Oh,
there are.
Love it. Yeah. And so, say,
okay, good. Just,
I don't know what to do, but I'm going to find a way.
Yes.
And I'm going to double down. Because if you say, like, I had a client, it's such a great, I love your example. I had a client, she was stuck. She was just stuck, and she was applying for stuff, and she was trying things, and she was isolating herself like I used to do from her team. And the first thing I told my clients to do during COVID times was communicate on a daily basis. And she goes, I'm sending out emails and nobody's answering me. Or I got okays. I said, you're a heart-centered human being. You're a heart-centered organization. Do a video and start the video off by validating where you are, recognizing all that, and tell everybody that you're worried about them and you're thinking of them. And then tell them what you're doing. Tell them that you don't know what exactly when this is all going to be over, but you're gonna kill yourself to do it. She sent this video out, and I kid you not, Scott, she sent it to 22 leaders in her organization. Within 5 minutes, 19 of them had gotten back to her. Some had sent videos. Some had sent videos of them sitting with their families. Some had sent a video of what they were doing and how they were working. And it brought everybody back together because she showed up authentic, transparent, vulnerable, and said, I don't know everything. My brutal reality is I have COVID. We will find a way to get out of this. I just don't know what it looks like. And then she had other people to help her out. And that has improved her culture. Her culture was great. Now it's at a whole new level.
You see, listeners, I want to make sure that we just do not gloss over this particular point. We're talking specifically about getting out of that comfort zone. Pre-virus, get out of it. You're in this next normal. And that next normal requires that you be authentic, transparent, and a big one called vulnerable. There's a book called Dare Greatly.
So you know Brené Brown.
There you go. Dare greatly. It's about vulnerable, being vulnerable.
There you go.
So be authentic, transparent, and vulnerable. And the other one is that the formula, the four-step formula of being able to, from a leadership perspective of failure, I just beg you to just get past this. This is all at the heart of collaboration. I mean, nobody wants to collaborate if you have all the answers. They're looking for help. They're just like, hey.
Yeah. Well, if the emperor has no clothes because it's the greatest answer is he dressed himself perfectly today, that's not going to work real well. But I will say this, because I was thinking about the question you asked me a few minutes ago about what would I recommend to my clients. Here's what I'm telling my manufacturing clients, and this may be counterintuitive to what they may be thinking, is there's a lot of talent on the streets. When I was on a podcast at least 6 months ago, that we were talking about how there were 7 million more job openings in the United States than there were people for them. A lot of them were in the manufacturing sector.
Yeah.
With layoffs, with displacement. If you're a company that needs talent, you can afford to dig into the company coffers that hire that hard-to-find machinist, that G6 welder who can scuba dive on your oil derrick down in Houston, or some of these other high-end positions. Look for that talent. It's actually out there. And you have a competitive advantage because you're hiring where their company is displacing. You're going to look like a whole lot more attractive to them. You may not have to pay the signing bonus that you're going to have. You have to start paying again that they were paying 8 months ago. So just for manufacturers specifically, pay attention to the landscape. There's great talent on the street in your space. If you can go out and get them now because they aren't going to be there forever.
See, and that was interesting because some of the, after the hundreds and hundreds of interviews that I've done, right, there are themes. And one of the themes is, and it's a great opportunity, is not just retaining talent, like how do I retain the right talent? I'm looking at my talent pool, but to be able to really augment it with really good talent because they're out there. You got to be engaged to do that. And that's real important. And I mean, you can truly catapult your business because you've got incredible talent. Now is the time.
Well, because now, you know, and I hate to say this to my recruiter friends out there, but you can find them without using a recruiter necessarily because they're on Indeed, they're on LinkedIn, they're out there, especially for the category for the, you know, typical, when I think of a manufacturer, one of the hidden gems in recruiting for manufacturing companies is to recruit via Facebook. Because you got the people reconnecting with their high school classmates, wanting to stay in touch with their kids and their grandkids. Yeah. They're on Facebook. They may not, you know, if you're a, you know, you're an old manual machinist who converted to the CNC world and you're about, you know, 55 years old, give or take 60 years old, and maybe you're not going to be on LinkedIn, but you'll be on Facebook because you want to keep in touch with their world. You're all of a sudden now you're getting nostalgic and you want to connect with your classic car friends and you're, you know, I'm thinking more, you know, here in the Midwest, but still. You know, there's always opportunity within the tragedy. And it's those out of the box thinkers that are going to find the gold in these opportunities to add or enhance their staff or other parts of their businesses like Ruthie Johnston did. And you can make a huge difference if you just keep your eyes open to the world around you.
Yeah. And just keep getting up because some days it's better than others, right? Some days like, I don't feel like crawling out of bed. It's just the same. No, keep going, keep pushing. Now, we're going to be wrapping it up real soon here, but I want to ask a couple of questions. Who on this particular podcast do you want to say thank you for helping and being a part?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. You know, not a lot of people express enough gratitude. I'm a big believer in the work of Sean Aker. His work around gratitude is so powerful, and it can literally change depressive mindsets. I think if I could thank anybody, I would thank Dr. Danny Friedland. He's an amazing guy. He's a change agent around conscious capitalism, around mindset and growth. I certainly would thank the team at Diversified Industrial Staffing for all these years who, it wasn't me who just turned the business around. It was a bunch of different people who came into play, who came in and believed in me when I literally fired everybody. And I hired Becky as the first person. She comes into my office like, does anybody else work here? Let me tell you a story about that.
Once upon a time
last week.
I understand.
But I appreciate you asking the question.
Well, it's important because we, once again, it's all about collaboration from my perspective. It's all about innovation and education. That is just right at the core, most definitely. You know, Todd, thank you very much. We got to wrap it up. Thank you for being on the Industrial Talk podcast. You were absolutely splendid.
Scott, it was an absolute delight of my time. Thank you so much. And I'll leave your listeners with this. Anybody who's heard me on the show, reach out to me. I'm happy to help you get unstuck. I'll give you 30 minutes of my time for free. Email me, todd@extraordinaryadvisors.com. Mention you heard me on Scott's show so I can give them a shout back for the referral. And I'm happy to help out any way I can.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up. So do not go away because I know when you go away. So stay tuned. We will be right back. All right, champ.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, Todd Palmer is his name. He is the CEO at Extraordinary Advisors. Go out and find him on LinkedIn, right? Todd Palmer, Extraordinary Advisors. Or just go out to extraordinaryadvisors.com. Find out more about what he is doing and how he's helping business succeed in this particular next normal. because it's important that you succeed. All right. As we proceed forward in this next normal, I want you to also take note. Here we go. Take note. You need to collaborate, internal, external, and even if you can, with your competition. You need to innovate, both from a technology point of view and from how you have your business and where you're at right now. You got to make those real bold decisions. And then finally, right, you're going to have to educate. Industrial Academy out on theindustrialtalk.com for you. All right. Again, be bold, be brave, dare greatly. You're changing the world. Hang out with people like that. Thank you very much for joining. We're going to have another great interview shortly.